Sagt der Heilige Mischner weiter, man sagt, dass Menaches, Perik Yud, Mischner Dalet, Kitzeru and Nesanu, Bekupais. They would harvest the barley and put it into baskets. Heavy Uli Azara, then they would bring it into the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. And Hoya Mehavad Ben Isa Ba'ar, they would toast the barley over the fire with the barley still attached. Ba'oidai B'shivulin, the Bat Tanura says, while the kernels of barley were still attached to the stalks. The reason it was done this way, K'dei L'kayim Bait Mitzvahs Kali, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of toasting. See, normally, you take the grain, the pieces of grain, and we do dash. That means they're beaten with a pole, and that like breaks off the kernels from the stalks. But here, we first toast it, because if we're going to first remove it from the stalks, you can't take kernels of grain and toast it directly over the fire, because the person holding it is going to get burnt. Divrei Reb Meir zehal Reb Meir. Who says you have to toast it? The Torah says. It says, kaloi, toast it over fire. Now, according to Reb Meir, that means it has to be mamish on the fire, not in a pot. It itself. So what do? I can't put it in a pot. I can't hold it with my hands over the fire. So if I don't disconnect it from the long stalks, I hold it by the stalk. That's why you can't beat it beforehand. Now, the Chachamim disagree. They say, yes, the Torah says kolui, it has to be toasted. But according to the Chachamim, they say the opposite of Reb Meir. You, Reb Meir, say it has to be directly over the fire. We say, no, not directly over the fire. You have to bedavka toast it in a keli that separates them from the fire. So according to the Chachamim, I have to separate the kernels from the stalks right after you cut it, so that can be placed into this keli. Now normally, how do you do it? You take a hard stick and you go bang, bang, and the kernels go flying off. I don't want to do that over here. I don't want to crush the soft kernels. So the Eitzah is, v'chachamim aimrim, how do you beat the stalks to separate the kernels without crushing it? Bekanim ubeklichais chayf demaisai. We take kanim, soft reeds, and cabbage stems. And that's how we gently beat, beat, beat. So the pressure is strong enough to break the kernel away from the stalk, but not strong enough to crush it. And we do this, we'd have to use these soft things, k'dei shelo yismayach, so that the soft barley kernels won't be crushed by the beating. And now we fulfill the mitzvah of toasting, of kolui. And how do we do it? Nesanu la'abuv, after you separate the kernels from the stalks, they put the kernels into a copper pipe that was made specially for toasting grain. It's a copper pipe that it holds inside. As the Mishnah explains, v'abuv hayu menukev, the pipe was perforated, it had holes, k'dei she'or shaylet b'kulay, so that the heat of the fire would come through. Now, grain merchants used to do this all the time when they toasted grain. They used this kind of a pipe. This pipe with the holes inside. Vayter says the Mishnah, shetachu ba'azara, after they toasted the barley and the woman came the mitzvah of kolui, whether according to Ramei or according to the Chachamim, they spread it out. Shetachu, they spread it out, be'azara, in the courtyard. Va'ruach min ha'sheves boy, and the wind would blow on it and dry it out. So now we have dry, toasted kernels. I have to turn it into flour. So my next step is nesnu b'rechayim. They would then put the kernels of barley in a special mill, but it was b'rechayim shel grisus, a bean mill. It's dafka designed to make thicker pieces. Why do I need thick pieces? So the Bat Tanur explains as follows. Along with the kernel, you have a bran. The bran, I know you may like bran cereal, but bran actually is, it's the outer covering of the grain kernel. And that breaks off from the flour when you sift it. Now, if you grind it very thin, then these particles of this outer shell, the bran, also get grinded up into very small pieces, and it comes through the sifter together with the flour. And we need pure barley. So therefore, we put it in a bean mill. It grinds like bigger pieces, so the piece of bran remain bigger, and they're too large to pass through the sieve. Zakta Mishnah Vayter, v'tziu mimenu asara. From the grain, they drew out an asara in a fine flour. We discussed this in earlier prakim. Shu minupa, which had been sifted, mishloish esrei nafa, with 13 sieves. Vashan nivde v'nechal l'chalad. What about the rest? Well, the rest of the flour was redeemed from hegdish. You had to be paidit, and it could be eaten by anyone. The chayiv b'challah, this leftover flour, has a chayiv challah. If you want to use it, you have to first separate challah. Now, dough of hegdish is not mechuyev challah, but because we took this out of Hegdish, we redeemed it before it became a dough. Once something becomes a dough, when it's no longer Hegdish, then it's Mechuyev Bechal. What is Chala? It's a part you have to take off and give to a Kayan. Upatrim and Amaisris. But this leftover grain is Pater for Maisris. Because when does the Chiyav Maiser take effect? When you pile up the grain. And when we piled up the grain, it was still Hegdish. And Hegdish is Pater Amaiser. So again, the Chiyav Chala comes into effect when it's turned into a dough. By then, it's already in the hands of a regular person. The Chiyav Maisris comes when you pile up the grain. Then it still belongs to Hegdish. That's the reason it's Pater and Maisris, but Chayiv and Chala. At least according to the Sheet. Rebbe Kiva Mechayiv Bechala Ube Maisris. Rebbe Kiva says it. The leftover grain is chayiv to both chala and maisras. The Batanur explains that in according to Rabbi Kiva's shita, it's true that the gizber went ahead and he bought 3 sov barley, out of which we're going to take out an asarain of fine flour for the omer. But what was he paying for? He was paying only for the asarain. So the rest of the flour, as the Batanur explains, never belonged to Hegdish. And the mele is mechuyev and maisras. Wait a second, if it never belonged to Hegdish, so why would you have to redeem it at all? And Chanami Zakta Taisis Yantav, it could be according to Rabbi Kiva, you don't have to redeem it, it was never Hegdish to start with. Zakta Mishnah Vayter, Balayli Yisarein on the 16th of Nisan, whoever's preparing the Omer would come to the Yisarein of flour, after he went through this whole process. V'nosan Shamnai Ulavinosai. The Batanu stresses he has to first put in the oil and the Levaina, in meaning into an empty clay shares, and then add the flour. Yotzak, then he would pour more oil onto the flour, ubalal, and mix it, just like he did with other menaches. Weiter heinif, from this point on, you'd a kayin. The kayin would wave the mixture, the higish, and bring it near the mizbeach. Now, he waved the mincha in all 4 directions, and up and down, similar to what we do with the lulav, and then he would touch the Droimis Merovis corner, the southwest corner of the Mizbech with the keli. Rekamatz, then he would do kmitza on the flour and the oil. The Hiktir, and then he would burn the kaimitz and the levaina on the Mizbeach. The Hashar, and the rest of the Omer that stayed and didn't come along with the kmitza, that was eaten by the Kehanim, Vashanechel LeKehanim, in the Azara. Okay, so quickly chazring over, Masechtas Menachas Perik Yud Mishnah Dalid. They cut the Omer, they put it in boxes, brought it to the Azara. Then we have to fulfill the mitzvah of kolui b'eish. According to Remeir, that means that it has to be toasted when the kernels are still in the stalks. That's because there's no other way of doing it. According to Remeir, you can't put it in a keli, and you can't hold it with your hands over the fire. So you leave it in the stalk. The Chachamim say, no, it has to bedavka be in the keli. But I don't want to crush it. I want to toast it whole. That's what the Torah says I should do. So how do I separate it without crushing it? Instead of beating it with hard sticks, we used soft reeds, parts of the cabbage. Then they would put it into a copper keli that had holes inside that was made for this, that the fire goes through and through. And according to the Chachamim, that's how I fulfill the mitzvah of Kali Be'esh. Afterwards, they spread it out in the Azara. The wind would dry it out. Then they would put it into a special mill designed really for beans. We don't want it to grind too thin, because we don't want the bran to be grinded too thin and come through. And then we have to pull out an asarain, and we would do so by sifting 13 times. The rest, because we start out with 3 sa, we're taking it only in asarain, so we have a lot of rest. It's redeemed. Anyone can eat it. It's mechuyev chala, because the chiyev chala comes when you roll it into a dough, and by then it was no longer hegdish. But it's pater amaisras, because the chiyev of maisras comes when you pile it up. At that point, it still belonged to Hegdish. Rabbi Akiva holds that it's chay both a chala and maisus. That's because Rabbi Akiva holds that when the gizber purchased this, the money that he spent wasn't for 3 sa, it was only for the asara, and the rest was never Hegdish. So when you piled it up, it wasn't Hegdish. And the mele, it's mechuyev and maisus. Just the asara that we take out, that's the Hegdish part. Now, it's a little bit more complicated, because I don't know which part is going to be lucky and be from the asara to be part of the mincha, which is going to be the rest. But Rabbi Kiva holds yesh breira. That means, even though we don't know now, but when you find out, it's as if we knew about it to start with. So it's as if all the way to start with, only the asarin is hegdish, and the rest is considered chulin. All right, then the Mishnah says we come to the Sesarin that we finally took out after sifting 13 times. We put in the oil and the Levaina into a Klishares. Then we put in the Silas, that's the Batnur explains it. Then we pour some more oil and mix it. Then they do Tenufa, the waving, and the approach that touches the Mizbeach. From the Tenufa and the Hagasha, from this point on, it has to be through a Kayin. The Kayin continues to do Kmitza, from the Silas and the Shaman. He's macked to the Kaimitza and the Levaina and the Mizbeach. And the rest that didn't come up with the Kmitza is eaten by the Kayhanim in the Azara.